Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins of Your Health Unbound, again with a great guest. Today, we have Lori Michelson. Let me tell you a little bit about Lori. She's a wellness mentor, a personal trainer, a yoga, Pilates, and meditation teacher, and a self-proclaimed habit guru. With a master's degree in health and physical education and years of teaching, coaching, and speaking, she most loves the opportunity to share her perspective on daily habits and routines. She passionately believes that they are stepping stones to a more fulfilling and purposeful life and loves to coach clients, class participants, and anyone who will listen on the value of exploring and implementing those healthy, life-enhancing gems. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you so much, Angela.
So today I understand our topic is mastering our new habit for a fit, fearless, and fabulous life. So tell me about daily habits and routines. Why are they important and why are you interested in them?
Well, I first became interested actually just dealing with some general fatigue and not feeling myself way back in university. And I was away in my first year and I came home, visited my doctor, said I'm feeling fatigued, I'm tired, I'm not feeling myself. And she said, you know, I see you every fall. And I had never actually thought about that. I thought, really? I come to see you every fall? She said, yes, to get your iron tested, to get to figure out why you have to sleep more and you're just little pain comes up and different things. And to make a long story short, I started to research around fall, around issues that come up in the fall. And one of the issues that comes up in the fall is a drop in sunlight. Some people are more sensitive to this drop in sunlight than others. I am overall a very sensitive person to food, to light, to energy. And so I realized that this drop in light was the biggest, let's say, the problem for my energy, my fatigue, my food cravings, all of that in the fall. That actually brought me to also Ayurveda. And Ayurveda is a sister science to yoga. And it speaks very much about our daily routines, our daily habits, the rhythm of our days, how we're so linked with the seasons. And when we recognize that, we can actually tweak our habits, our routines seasonally to feel better. And it was an aha moment for me. I bought my first seasonal affective disorder light, and my life in the fall has been different ever since. And that was the beginning of my morning routine. So that's where my interest in habits and routines started.
Wow. That is interesting that your doctor actually thought that through. That's great that, you know, in the fall you're seeing her and she figured it out. And together you worked as a team. That's great. That's what most people would want for their doctor, but not typical of what they would get. So now you've figured out that you need this daily routine that starts, I guess, with your light. And what do you notice with, you know, does it change the way you eat, how you exercise? What goes along with it?
Absolutely. So what it is that in the fall, when we have less light, a chemical, a neurotransmitter in our body, serotonin, drops. And serotonin is our feel-good chemical. So it affects our food cravings. It affects if we're feeling, if we have joint pain already, it will feel worse in the fall again, or in general when our serotonin is down. So once I started with the light, actually, and then this brought me more into looking at Ayurveda, I started to look at kind of morning routines and thinking, okay, so I'm going to start my morning, I'm going to put my light on. So what I do is I put this seasonal affective light on for 20 minutes in the morning, and you just kind of sit off to the side with it, and you read or you do your own thing. You don't want it directly on your eyes. You just want it shining on your face. And so that's how my morning started. And then I went, geez, that feels really, really good. I'm going to start to look at how am I going to link this to other habits in the morning, because I'm feeling better in the morning. So then it came to, okay, how am I going to, because it actually felt like having a drink of coffee. It had an effect on me in that way. So I was just when am I going to have my lemon water? Because this was coming out through Ayurveda as well. Lemon water for digestion. When am I going to do that? When I first get up, am I going to have a warm cup of water with lemon? How am I going to, integrate this then when I'm sitting and I may be journaling with my light? When am I going to put my exercise in? And it just all started to link together. And I was realizing that that when I got up at the same time as well in the morning and followed that routine, that everything followed. And as I researched more, I realized that every single system in our body is related to habits and routines and related to the rhythm of the day. So when we're getting up at the same time, when we're eating at the same time, and even when we're having our, let's say, lemon water or apple cider vinegar or whatever kind of routine we have in the morning, when we're exercising, and then again, when we're having our breakfast, our lunch, and our dinner, affects everything in terms of digestion. It affects our bowel movements, of course. It affects how we metabolize our medications. It affects how the first thing in the morning, the habit and the routine, let's say we have first thing in the morning, I would venture to say sometimes it has more of an impact on how we sleep at night than what we do directly before we go to sleep. And that was another aha moment. I'm just, wow, like how that rhythm is set first thing in the morning, how your body reacts to it through the rest of the day can absolutely affect how you sleep at night. So I started to study the rhythm of the day as related to the rhythm of the season. So that's been ongoing.
Is it that you're resetting your circadian rhythms with the day in the season? So as the seasons change, does your time shift also? I know where I am, our time shifts, and that puts me a little out of whack. So yes. Is that the light is helping adjust that also?
It really does. And this is where it ends up sometimes being a little bit of a, I'm going to say a struggle personally. And when I'm speaking with clients about, they might have sleep issues or digestive issues. We actually go and we look at the timing of the day. So depending on the season, for sure. Light-wise right now, so the light starting somewhere around, I'm going to say between 4:30 and 5 in the morning. So from an Ayurvedic standpoint, we do want to wake up with the light and naturally with the light. And in an ideal way, we're going to bed again when it gets darker. So, and again, that's a little bit of a struggle in terms of today's society, right? Because we're trying to get a lot done and we're not going to bed ideally before 10 o'clock. And in general, up by about 6 a.m., but with some variability in terms of the seasons for sure, because it is easier to get up, most people will notice, easier to get up in the morning, earlier in the spring and the summer, than it is in the fall and the winter. So I always say I adjust, sometimes it depends on my schedule, in an ideal world by about an hour, depending on the seasons. If you can just sleep sometimes and notice also what your natural rhythm is, once you've got your catch-up sleep, right? Because that's the issue. Someone says, well, if I sleep in on the weekends, I can sleep till 9, or is that my usual? No, that's your catch-up time. That's your catch-up time. So resetting our rhythms seasonally, resetting our rhythms when we travel, and that's a really good time actually to notice kind of how your rhythm is when you've traveled, time changes, all of that. So yes, absolutely linked to our circadian rhythms, to our, so the body clock, the Ayurvedic clock is quite interesting as well. And I just gave you a little piece of that, which is up at around 6 in the morning and in bed by 10, because from that period of time, our body is wanting to sleep. It's not wanting to digest, which again, from a nutrition standpoint, which is why we don't want to eat a fair bit before we go to bed. Our body is trying to sleep. It's trying to restore. So from an Ayurvedic habit routine perspective, we are getting our body digesting what we're eating definitely at least an hour or so before bed. And that time between 10 to 12 at night is actually pretty substantial in terms of our body and our rhythm. And that's one of my biggest, let's say, struggles with my clients, let's say now night owls. So it takes some playing. Yeah. Yeah. Long answer to your question. Yes.
Well, it's good information. I was actually curious from my own personal perspective, this catching up sleep. I've been told in the past that really isn't such a thing. You really can't catch up on your sleep. You can nap, obviously, and maybe you feel better temporarily, but if you've lost significant amount of sleep during the week, there is no catch up on the weekend. Do you look at that differently?
There's a couple of things about that. Some people will say, depending on their constitution, the way they are, because again, that's another whole part of Ayurveda as well, is we have different doshas and different constitutions. Some people would not be able to do that catch up sleep. Even if they were short of sleep, they say I could never sleep in. So you've got, you know, that group of people. And then you'll have another group of people. I can sleep in on the weekends. So because I generally get up earlier during the week, if I naturally sleep in, I'm realizing it's going to be till 7. So 7 a.m. is a sleep in for me. And it does feel like it's makeup. Yeah, it's makeup sleep. I definitely feel good with that. And then if I sleep in a little bit, then when I'm waking up earlier on Monday, again, I feel okay. Now, let's say from a pure rhythm and habit and routine, we should be keeping our same system, our same wake up and sleep time the same during the week. But reality is we're not going to be able to do that. And you don't want to get too structured with this either, because you can get kind of resistant to it and then you get a little bit frustrated. I just look at it with a sense of exploration. So if I'm sleeping in on the weekend, I go, oh, okay, so when am I hungry now? When's my bowel movement now? I lead a very, let's say, not exciting life when I'm...
But I think what you're saying here is that you have great self-awareness. Mm. You respect what your body's telling you and you just adjust accordingly rather than resisting it. Because I know I have clients that say, oh, it's 12 o'clock. It must be lunchtime. I'm like, are you hungry? If you're not hungry, why are you eating? So stop fighting what your body tells you. If you're not hungry, don't eat. If you're not tired, I guess you don't need to sleep. Your body will tell you when you're tired. That's when you need to honor it rather than fight it and say, no, I'm going to stay up and watch one more show, or I'm going to do... I got one more paper to write, or whatever it is, you should stop and just honor what your body's saying. So I totally get that.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a dance.
It is. So during this time, I mean, we're in a very unusual situation with this pandemic going on. We need to have more daily habits and routines. What kind of routines would you say are more beneficial? I mean, is there a way that we recognize what our body's telling us that we need to get certain things done? I mean, yes, we probably have to work. We probably have to have meals. But how do we fix these habits when we're not so structured? We may not be getting up and going to work like we used to. We may be sitting home during the day. Or maybe some people are out of work and now their whole routine is off. How do we restructure ourselves?
That's such a good question. It's been a discussion that I've had in some of my Facebook groups and during some of my lives, and people are sharing questions. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the pandemic, and again, everybody was different in terms. Some people had, all of a sudden all their kids were at home and they were homeschooling. But sometimes some people were working full time now were at home and they were on their own. So in any of that, the routines and the habits changed. Now, I had some people saying that was a bit that, oh, I felt so good not to have to get up and go to work. And I didn't have to have a structure. I didn't want habits and routines. I just wanted to enjoy. I would say from my experience, and this goes with whether we're traveling, whether we're working our, again, through this pandemic time, or even a time change, it's about 2 weeks. It's about 2 weeks of going, okay, I'm good without this habit or these routines. I'm good without this structure. And then all of a sudden our mind and our body says, oh my gosh, I need to come back to some type of routine. And that's what people say. And sometimes some of our basic ones go. It's like if you're at work, for example, and you have a water cooler at work, or you have some routines around how often you drink water. I did a blog on, this was about a month ago, we are over-coffeed and underwatered right now. And it was specific to our habits, because coffee drinking and water, of course, are habits. So coming back to, I said, come back to putting a jug on your counter. However you would normally do this at work, make sure you're coming back to your water. And from a food perspective, from a nutrition perspective, we were baking, we were in our kitchens a lot more. And when I talked about the serotonin, that serotonin drop actually again affects our food cravings. And how do we increase serotonin in our body? As many of us know, by carbohydrates. but we weren't filling ourselves with the good ones. So I've had clients say, okay, well, what do I put into my not move away from the baking and all of that, but how do I come back to some of my basics? So yeah, let's get back to your, and actually it was timing is what we did. So let's come back to more of a regular time around your breakfast, lunch, and your dinner. Let's come back to some planning. Doesn't mean you have to stop baking bread and making pasta and doing all of that, because again, that's good, fun, and good serotonin stuff. But there was a balance that was needed. So I came back to looking at time in the day. So then coming back to our nutrition, our water, and then my biggest recommendation still is the importance now, because we can get outside more in general, and that's huge. So it doesn't even have to be out in the bush. I'm in Northern Ontario, so I mean, I step out the door and we're into the bush, but it doesn't have to be. It can be down to your boardwalk in a city. It can be just getting outside, because the sunlight, again, resets our serotonin melatonin connection. So when we get sunlight first thing in the morning, that affects our melatonin and our sleep at night. So these basic kind of habits that are related actually very chemically to neurotransmitters in our body. And so that's what we started with. And this is what I still keep suggesting. Yeah, water, come back to your healthy food and get moving outside.
I know that the one thing that I've noticed now that you brought it up is that in the spring, summer, and still in the good early part of the fall, I have a dog. We go outside in the morning, let her run and do her business. I go out with her and I sit on our back steps and I just enjoy the sun while she runs around, does what she has to do. And I find just those, 15, 20 minutes makes me feel so much better. It starts the day off well. So if it's raining or if it's really a bad day and you can't do that, it really changes the dynamic of the day. So I truly believe that being out in the sun makes a big difference. And yes, supplementing it with a light, an indoor light that you have like for, seasonal affective disorder is a perfectly reasonable. Actually, I have one and I have a different routine. You may think it's a little crazy. In the winter, I plug it in the bathroom. And then while I shower and brush my teeth and all that stuff, I leave it on and then I'm done. I don't have to do anything different. And I thought, that seems pretty weird, but you know what? I feel better. Why not? Somebody could do it differently, but it works for me.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with that.
So what do you, in this particular time, what do you think about the social component of life? I mean, things have changed. I know for myself, I'm missing my grandkids. We actually had a driveway get together where we sat in chairs separated, but we sat in the driveway. So we weren't in the house all under, because they were still associating with other people. We didn't want to have any cross contamination, so to speak. How are we doing that? I mean, I know for personally, I'm kind of over sitting and meeting people on Zoom. I love people that I deal with, but Zoom, after a while, you're just exhausted. There's so much going on. What other ways can we increase the social component?
I also just came back to the good old telephone. Strangely enough, I did have this conversation with saying, you do get zoomed out. You are looking at the camera. Again, you're looking at the screen. And if you're already, like you and I, we're in meetings already during the day, and then my family and then my friends want to meet on Zoom. It was, I remember a couple of weeks ago saying, can I just put you on speakerphone? I'm going to sit on the floor. I'm going to do my yoga. You can do that too. And let's just have this on speakerphone. No looking at the screens. We're just, we're just going to connect, but with our ears, give our eyes a rest. And also take that opportunity to just be able to move and to breathe, but to be together. I've seen, so again, we're in Canada here, so everyone's at different places in terms of where they've changed the social distancing. So we're at a 10 bubble right now. So you can, you can go out, for example, you could go to the park and you, as an instructor, you could teach everybody socially distanced in a park. So I think it is important to get out, again, where, whatever your, let's say your regulations are, wherever, find out what that is. Don't be afraid, because I do recall, some people say, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to do anything. But check with your health unit, check with your city, your town, with us, we're always checking in the provincial guidelines and go out and do what you can socially, because it is so, so important. And if you can do this outside, then again, you get that benefit. And you also, of course, then the social distancing just happens, right? Because you've got all of that space. But again, I don't want to get too structured, but it does come to, if you do plan that and say, once a week, I'm going to go for a walk with my mom, or I'm going to connect with this friend and we're going to walk on Tuesdays. And I know sometimes it does have to be that, the structure, again, depending on everybody's schedule. If it's not in your schedule and just go, oh, I'm just going to call and we're going to connect, sometimes it doesn't happen. So the habits and the routines do come into play there as well.
Absolutely. I know the one thing about having a dog is that she has a schedule. She knows when it's time to eat. She knows when it's time for a walk. She knows when it's time for bed. And she tells me.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
She looks right at me like, you know what time it is. And so like at walk time, the good thing about it is, of course, if you're walking your dog, you don't have to wear masks or anything. You're walking, you know, by yourself. People are waving, which was not happening previously. You could walk and everybody had blinders on. Now people are waving. People who are, delivery people or the mail person, they're waving. You're seeing other people out. We're now speaking to people we've never spoken before because the blinders are on or you walked at different times. Now you may have more time to walk, several times a day. And so you see different groups of people. It's actually been a good thing. And my dog's benefiting from it. So she's like, let's go for another walk. And I just think it's really given me a different look on the world that, here we're all stuck at home. All I need to do is take my dog for a walk. And I see so much else, see things and just walk in a different route, if nothing else. Just being outside, looking at different things, seeing different people, realizing everybody's in the same boat and now they're waving and saying hi. I think it's been so much better.
Yeah. And I have to say, if I was going to recommend, if someone says I'm not on a regular walking routine, my recommendation, if they can swing it, is yes, walk somebody's dog. If you don't have your own dog or you don't, you're not able to have a dog, offer that to somebody who maybe is not able to, they're working and not able to walk their dog as often as possible because we walk at night with our dog here. The dishwasher closes, it goes click, and she goes boom. She's right at my feet. It is unbelievable. Like she knows that click means it is walk time.
That's great.
Yeah, they are so habit and routine and structured. Yeah, which is good for us.
So I know that you have a summit coming up, and I thank you for inviting me for being on it because it's a great idea. Your summit is Moving Forward Together, Mastering Our New Habits for a Fit, Fearless, and Fabulous Life. And I really want you to just tell everybody about it, and they can click the link that goes along with this podcast to sign up for free. And I think it's just a great idea. If you just tell us about who's on it, what you're going to cover, it would be great to have the listeners understand that.
Sure. Well, thank you, first of all, for sharing the information on the summit. And thank you for being an expert speaker. It's
my pleasure.
Fantastic. We have just a beautiful combination of professionals to help us all move forward. I'm so excited that we actually have speakers from 5 different countries. So when we talk about that aspect of moving forward together, and you've mentioned that, we're all going through this together. And that's what jumped in my head when I thought, well, to get the perspective when we're looking at different ideas and different tools. So I reached out and we have people from Sweden and the UK and Canada and the United States. Did I say Australia?
Not yet.
My gosh. So we have 5 different countries. We have over 20 speakers. We have nutritionists and like yourself, and fitness experts, health coaches and practitioners, decluttering experts, gardeners, authors, podcasters. And as I've been doing the interviews, I've just been so inspired and with the advice that they're sharing with us and in the connection between all of the speakers. So I'm just finishing up the interviews. Now we're going to go live on Monday, July the 27th, 2 speakers a day. And as you mentioned, it's a free online summit. There's lots of free gifts as part of this summit as well. And I can guarantee you from the interviews that I've had so far that you will be truly, truly entertained, educated, and inspired. Love to have you join.
It sounds great. I know I'm going to be checking out everybody's videos because I always get something. I mean, just getting other people's perspective on things is really helpful. So one last thing before we go, because I can tell you and I could talk all day. We have so much, I think, we have in common. If we could give one tip to our listening audience that they could act on today, what would that be?
I would say out of everything that we chatted about, to get outside every day at some point. Even as you mentioned, even if it's to sit on your step, on your back patio for 5 minutes, that's it. And even just go with that, you don't think, oh, I'm going to have to go out for a 40-minute walk. No, you go outside for 5 minutes, and then you might be motivated to stay out a little bit longer and perhaps go for a walk. But outside, doesn't have to be in the sunshine either.
Right.
If the sun is not out, you're still to go out and get the benefit of just the light and the air.
Right. So I want to add one little caveat to those people that, because now we're heading into the summer weather, people who think that they have to slather up with all sorts of things to cover their skin when they go in the sun. If you go out for less than 20 minutes, you don't need it. But you're getting the benefit of the vitamin D from the sun. So go without for the short term. And if you're going to spend a day at the beach, sure, you're going to need sunscreen. Go natural, obviously, for that. Eliminate all the chemicals. But seriously, I agree with you. Getting sunshine, getting outside, just changing your environment is so healthy. Lori, yeah. I so appreciate you and all your ideas that you have. And I'm going to reexamine my habits to make sure that I'm going down the right path for myself. So thank you again. I invite everybody to sign up for Lori's Summit, Moving Forward Together, Mastering Our New Habits for a Fit, Fearless, and Fabulous Life. Click the link below the podcast to join. And thank you once again for joining me on another episode of Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins saying be well.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/Angela Atkins HN Coach. We'll see you next time.